Good morning and happy Sabbath. I'm going to have to get a couple of deep breaths here, kind of get rid of the nervousness. I hope each of you had a good holiday season and that you remembered what our season this time of the year is all about. It wasn't the presents that we received or that we gave, it's the present that we received, which was Jesus. God gave the Son. Amen. Here we are, almost beginning of another year. Who would have ever thought we'd see 2019? If you'd have asked me whenever I was a young man about even 1995, I'd have said, 2000, soon be next year at this time, we'd be into another decade, 2020. Anyway, for a brief time this morning, we're going to do some praise and share. Do we have a young person here who can do the mic to Janae? You know, I'm glad she volunteered to do that, because I was just thinking a while ago when I saw the little ones up front here and little Isabel. I can remember when we first moved here, somebody who was about that age. And now she's a growing, beautiful young lady, and that's Janae. Thank you, Janae. Do we have someone who wanted to start our praise and share this morning? April or Samuel?
That I got a new spider.
I'll have to see if I can do this without crying. Sorry, David, I told you I needed to do this. When my husband got sick in May, Matt Aaron called me and he said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "Matt, I need cleared off my church schedule, because I take those things very seriously. And I have to teach Shelby responsibilities. So for me, that means I have to show it to her. So if my name's on there, I need to be here." And I told Matt, I said, "Just cover me. Get me off that schedule." And, you know, for the last almost seven months, you all have covered me. You've cleaned the church for me. Even this week, somebody cleaned the church for me. You've covered my classes. I could not have asked for a church family to be any more supportive or any better to us than that. But there's also two men that I owe a big thank you to. When my husband died, he was building a building for me that I've been doing youth ministries for a long time, and I live in a small house. And I needed somewhere to put my stuff, and my husband had been wanting to build it for me for a long time, and I wouldn't do it, and I finally gave in and said yes. So he was halfway through the construction of this small building for me to house all my things that I have collected over the years. And he had part of the walls up, David. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, he had the roof on. And I thought, how am I going to get this dried in before winter? That's one of the talents I do not have, is anything construction. He wouldn't even let me paint. So I'm challenged in that area. And I thought, how am I going to get this done? Well, there are two men in this church who have spent a lot of time at my house working. One of them is Mr. David Crittenden, and the other one is Mr. David Myers. And I just cannot tell you how much I appreciate that, because that building was important to him, because it was for me and it was important. And I just want you to know how much I thank you all for loving us through this horrific. I've not landed back on my feet completely, but I'm headed there, I hope. And I just want you to know I love you all, and I'm grateful for all you've done for us.
We love you too.
I have a praise that I can share. 3 years ago, we had Christmas, and then 2 days later, my husband woke up ill. And He died less than 4 months later, and it has been 3 years now that we have been on our journey, and I just am so thankful to God where I'm at right now, and the last few days I've really been thinking about when all this started and how hopeless and lost I felt, and I never imagined that God would give me the strength to stand up and take care of my two babies all on my own, and I'm just really, really thankful this season, and I'm just praising God for what he's done in my life over the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm just praising God always for our church family, my family. Mm-hmm. And I want to, we've all got these long trials that's been put before us. We could all stand and tell our hearts, you know. And I just want to be thankful that he shows us that we keep going forward.
Amen.
And that's what he wants us to do, and keep sharing him, because when we share him, it takes the burden away from us, because we're helping someone lift someone else's burden. So yes, we do have an awesome church family who helps out in that area.
Yes.
We're very blessed.
Yes.
And I want to thank God for my family, my girls, my grandchildren, all of them. They're such blessings to us. And I want to thank you guys for praying for them, because I know one day they will come through this door. And I hope it's before the end of 2019, all of our children, because we all have children out there and someone we love. So thank you for your prayers, praying family. I love you guys.
I'm thankful for the fact that the Lord just gave me another year. We all should have a little something we can say to praise the Lord for.
There's two things that we're really, we're many things. Just like Jim said, we don't have really tell the goodness of the Lord of how great he has been in our lives.
Amen.
But Dee and I, we celebrated our 65th wedding anniversary this week. So we just praise the Lord for what he has done for us in our lives. And I know there's some sad experiences, but above most of it all, it's been joyous ones in Jesus Christ. And the difficulties that have come to us, we've only been able to come through Christ who has strengthened us. But another thing is this. We were just talking today, this morning before we came to church. We were trying to anticipate how long this has been our church home. It's difficult for us to realize that this year starts our 30th year as this being our church home.
Wow.
And this church has really been a, like in our Sabbath school lesson we just discussed this morning, really, of there's a highway in heaven that's called the Highway of Holiness. I call this here church right here a highway to heaven, because we have found in this church spiritual growth in our lives. And we thank the Lord every day for this church that has supported us all of our years that we spent here. So thank you, church. But most of all, we thank the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I've been coming to this church for over 50 years, but I was gone during some of that time. But I'm so thankful the way that the Lord has always worked in with his people in Tullahoma. I'm so thankful for the new members that have come in over the years that have accepted the message. And each one of them have added new dimensions to our church family. And I praise God for what all he's done. And I know what he's going to do for us in the future as we finish the work and spread the gospel to let people know we have a hope and a future and Jesus is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to be faithful.
I'm thankful to God also for this church. I know that the Lord was leading when I moved here, and he guided and directed. And I can agree with everybody else here. This is a wonderful church. I love each one of you. And I just pray for you and myself as well. My one goal is to be ready when Jesus comes, and I hope that's everybody's goal here. And I also have a praise. This is my son, Rick, for those of you who don't know. And I just thank God for getting him here safely. And I ask some special prayers and blessings for him also. Thank you.
I can't believe 30 years, Dell. That's a long time. This is going to be 22 years for us. 22 years. And, you know, every time the mic becomes available, I think we should grab it and talk about
Amen. How
good the Lord has been to us. Because this is an opportunity for us to share what he's done in our lives. And, man, he continues to be unbelievable in our lives, providing for us every single day and continues to work. And it's neat to see the people he's bringing to the church, continues to bring, and new faces, and the old ones that continue to come right on through as well. And the changes that happen, being good or bad, he continues to surprise there as well. So it's never a dull moment if the Lord is leading, and we want to thank him for everything he's done, bringing our girls safely home through all their travels. And I can hold this mic for another 30 minutes, probably just talking about how all the good things. We had a car problem this week, and it got dropped on me to fix it, and I don't have any idea what I'm doing, but the Lord worked it out. I think Cliff was talking about using YouTube, Cliff, and I started to say something in the class, Sabbath school class, because I went in, I don't know what I'm doing. I went in and watched YouTube, and I went back out and boop, 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 and it was done. And the amazing part is once we got done, the car started again. That's really the amazing part. The Lord is good. I mean, he's phenomenally good, and I can't even stress that enough.
Real quick, I'd just like to say two things. Number one, the church is only as good as its doctrine. And the church is only good as its people. And thank God we have both great here.
If there's no one else that wants to speak up for the Lord, we're gonna start our message for today. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we just ask today that you be with us. The Holy Spirit will work on the hearts and lives. Help us to open our ears. Help us to listen to what you have to say. Thank you for being an awesome God that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. If you open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Our topic today is courage in a crisis. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, and that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there. From small to great, they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Why did they not kill anyone? Because they were going to use them for slaves and concubines. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive also. Would you say there was a little bit of a crisis there for him at this time and the men? If He needed some encouragement there. He needed some courage there in that time of crisis. I looked up the word courage because I like definitions of my sermon topics. Courage, also called bravery or valor, is the choice and willingness to confront agony, pain, uncertainty, danger, or intimidation. Now, physical courage is bravery in the face of physical pain, hardship, death, or even the threat of death. While moral courage is the ability to stand up for what is right in the face of popular opposition, shame, scandal, discouragement, or personal loss. Will you have the physical courage or moral courage when a crisis comes to you? How do you tend to respond to the crises that come in your life? How do you usually act? In other words, your actions at that time. Now let's define what a crisis is. Webster's Dictionary defined crisis as an emotional, significant event, as in what just happened to David and his men, or radical change of status in a person's life, an unstable or crucial time or state of affairs. To some, it could be the oil crisis, the gas crisis, a job crisis, a food crisis, marriage crisis, church crisis, identity crisis, moral crisis, health crisis, when we're told we have some kind of disease or something, or we have to have a major surgery. And the list goes on and on. I think there's even a crisis hotline. Now, whenever I'm sitting in my recliner and my wife hollers from the kitchen, "Dear, we've got a crisis in here," I jump up out of the recliner and go in there, and I said, "Well, dear, what is it?" "We're out of chocolate ice cream." That's not the kind of crisis we're talking about here. How about the Cuban Missile Crisis, for those of us who are old enough to remember that? And then there's one who most of us older people, some have experienced and some haven't. It's called the midlife crisis. So who can you think of in the Bible that saw a crisis coming or was in the middle of a crisis? Or perhaps prevented a crisis? Daniel? Esther? Three Hebrew boys are about to be cast in the fiery furnace? How about David we just read about in chapter 30 there? How would you react if what happened to you, like the same thing happened to David? And you went home, and your home was burned, and your family was missing. The number one response is to react with despair, whatever the crisis there is. Who hasn't, at some point or another, just totally lost it emotionally in a time of extreme distress? I suppose that our initial response is not the most telling or the most important, but it's how we later respond that is so crucial. You see, the key is to move beyond the despair, beyond the hopeless feelings, beyond the throw-in-the-towel, give-up mentality. We need to allow the Lord to help us to get a grip so we can go on. We know that even Jesus was extremely distressed in Gethsemane as it was, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. And he asked that the cup of suffering be removed, for crucifixion was one of the most painful ways to die. He was distressed, but he didn't stay there. He went on to do God's will, and he spent a lot of time in prayer. We need to move from despair to determination. Determination that God's will and his ways will not be defeated just because of some crisis that one of his children is going through. Many people react with despair, and then they either remain under its control or they act out and cover up its damage with odd behavior and sometimes blatant rebellion against God. Reacting with despair is not the way to go. Another response is to look to someone to blame. Now, if you still have your Bibles open to chapter 30, verse 6, next. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Why? Because it's all David's fault. He's the leader. He should have known better. He's the one who led us into the land of the Philistines. Never mind the fact that they were all willingly chose to follow him. But David gets all the blame. Of course, blaming someone else, you know, makes us feel better. Some blame God, and then they distance themselves from him. Or maybe it's the other way around. They distance themselves from God and then blame him when things don't go their way. It's one way or the other. And then they get angry and bitter. And they wanted to stone him because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. Can you identify with this? Even ever been guilty of uncontrolled anger? Ever been controlled by bitterness? What happened was tragic. They didn't know what the Amalekites were going to do to their family members. They were stressed out, worried, angry, and bitter. In a crisis, we can do all these things and we can find little opposition to our actions. But you ask yourself, when we're despaired and blamed others and have expressed our anger and bitterness, are we any better off? Has the crisis been solved? The despair hasn't helped. The blame game hasn't changed anything. The anger hasn't solved the problem. Oh, we might feel better for a while, and the expression of our anger can help us process our emotions, but it doesn't fix the bigger problem. These responses, though common, don't magically make the crisis disappear. Suppose those soldiers had given in, full vent to their anger. Suppose they had picked up the stones and killed David. Would it have made a difference? Would it have brought back their loved ones? Of course not. When we're in a crisis, we do all the things that these men did and continue to suffer. Or we can do what David did, depend on God's strength instead of our own, as in the last part of verse 6. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Why is it that a crisis will drive one person toward God for help and another person away from God? Because some people treat their relationship with God like a crutch that helps them hobble through life. Instead of living like God is their partner in life to help them grow and change and mature. Did you catch that? Treating their relationship with God like a crutch that helps them humbly hobble through life. Instead, living like God is their partner in life and help them grow and change and mature. How did you respond to the last crisis that you faced? I didn't respond too well to my crisis when I had my heart surgery, especially when the doctor told me that. I just went out to my truck and sat there and cried. But God got me through it. He gave me strength, peace of mind, and I thank Him every day. Did you turn to the Lord for strength and depend on yourself? When will we learn that in our moments of greatest personal strength, we are still weak in comparison to our Almighty God? David knew what he needed, what only God could offer. He knew that he must strengthen himself in the Lord. Now catch this. David initiated this. If we sit around waiting on God to strengthen us, we may wait in vain. We are the one who need to act. We are the one who need to ask God to do what God is encouraging us to do. If you're in the midst of a crisis right now, it's a great time to strengthen yourself in the Lord. How do we depend on the God for His strength? We ask for it. Request it. What's it called? Prayer. There was a survey they did. I've got it written here somewhere. They did a survey on prayer. 50% said they prayed often. 21% said sometimes. 14% said never, but only 15% in a time of crisis? Agree, too, that God is our strength, isn't it? Agree with God that our strength isn't enough and admit that we are weak. It's called humility. Also, if we do what David did in his crisis, we will seek the Lord's guidance and refuse to resort to our own solutions. Verse 7 says that David asked Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, to bring him the ephod so that he could pray and talk to God. Now, if you don't know exactly what an ephod is, I would ask you to look up Patriarchs and Prophets, page 351, and it will explain that to you. It's a dress or garment that the priest wore. What about others? This may not sound as important as the others, but it is. Don't miss the significance of this. This passage says that David and his men not only defeated the enemy, but they got all their family members back, with all the plunder, their valuable belongings, their gold and animals. But on their way back to Ziklag, there is some confusion. Let's jump down to verse 19, same chapter there. 1 Samuel 30, verse 19. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which had been taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds which they had driven before those other livestock and said, "This is David's spoil." Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away in despair and depart." But David said, "My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. And so it was from that day forward that he made it a statute with an ordinance for Israel to this day. You see, if we don't give away what God has given to us, he may take it away from what we have received. God's grace is to be accepted, experienced, and then given away. The scripture says it's more blessed to give than receive. If we don't forgive others, God may not continue to forgive us. If we don't express mercy to others, it may be withheld from us. If we are unwilling to express grace to others who struggle, then we have forgotten what God has done for us and are guilty of taking advantage of others. There was a farmer who had a fenced-in field. He had two horses in it. One was larger than the other. One had normal eyesight, and the other was totally blind. You may have heard this story. Out of love for the blind horse, the old farmer kept him around. The good-sighted, smaller horse wore a small bell on its bridle, so everywhere that she walked, the blind horse could hear it. It doesn't take long for the blind horse to find its way to the water trough or to its feed. It just listens to its friend by following the sound of the bell. When we face the huge crisis that life sometimes throws at us, we need a bell to lead us to nourishment and safety. And that bell at times is the Holy Spirit, the voice of God. It's the written word or a friend that God sends our way. And don't you know that sometimes that bell is us? As we help others to find God's strength and will, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we should submit ourselves to God and humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift us up. He will give us the strength for the end time crisis. So how will you stand when the end time crisis comes? How will you stand whenever the crisis comes in the end and we can't buy or sell and there's a lack of food? How will you stand whenever your children, your grandchildren, come up and say, "Daddy, I'm hungry." And your spouse looks up and says, "Honey, you got to do something here. We're starving. Are you going to compromise your faith? Are you going to give up? The Lord says that our bread and water will be sure." It's going to be a tough time. And some are going to say, "Well, you know, I just couldn't stand to see my little grandkids or my kids stand there crying and begging for food, so I had to give in." And so what have you done? Given up eternity? God will do great things for those who stand up for him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." When you stand firm for truth, your life will be a saving witness to your family, your friends, and your neighbors, and even the heavenly angels. God will look down from heaven and say, "Have you considered my servant that there is none like that on earth, one who fears me," meaning respect and reverence, "and shuns evil?" But Christ has not left us to do this alone. He has provided his own armor to protect us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand. Ephesians 6. Just remember that the correct posture for those wearing the armor of God is to stand. Never be afraid to stand with the minority that is right. For the minority which is right will someday be the majority. But always be afraid to stand for the majority that's wrong, for the majority that is wrong will someday be the minority. In the book Education, page 57, Ms. White wrote, "The greatest want of the world is the want of men, men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their utmost souls are true and honest, men who will do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle is to the pole, men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall." With God, friends, all things are possible, including living a life without worldly conformity and compromise. Resolve today that by his grace, you will stand on the rock and resist the waves of compromise that we have so much today that are sweeping God's people from the shores of salvation. And always remember that when you stake your stand, you don't stand alone. Jesus stands with you. Thank you.